Good to see everyone here with us this morning. I needed to hear the rain this morning. It's good to hear the rain. Many of you are probably going, oh no, rain again. But I needed to hear the rain. It's amazing how much we missed the rain being gone in Oklahoma the 9 years we were gone. Every time it rained, we'd say, aw, an Oregon day. And people would say, you're crazy. But have you ever just needed the rain? Just needed to stand out and let the rain hit you until it's soaking you in the back. Well, it's been good to sometimes just stand in the rain and let the rain hit you, to know that there is a God and God is good, and just to lean into that rain. You know, in Oklahoma, we didn't have so many rainy days, but we had lots of windy days. And the wind always came crashing through the plains. The song Oklahoma is so true. The wind always blows, whether it's cold or hot. And being a runner, there are days that always would run into the wind. At some point, you're going to run, because everything is in a square. You run east, you run north, you run west, and then when I ran my last half mile south back home, usually there was a nice southerly wind. And most times, most runners would hate the wind, but there are days when I needed the wind to push against me as I leaned into it, and to know that there is a God, and to be able to lean into God and to feel His resistance. And it seems like a lot of times life, it seems like it's a resistance, and it's a friction and it's a rub, and just to be able to lean into it. So I encourage you this morning to lean into God, and as we lean into His Word. And that's really what the Word is all about, that Jesus is the Word, and to lean into Him, to rest in Him, to find peace into Him. And it's going to challenge us. It's going to sometimes make us uncomfortable, and we're going to want to resist that, but to resist His power, His passion, His love, His purpose, His calling, His high expectation. And yet He continues to push and to pursue for us to embrace Him and wrestle with Him. We've covered quite a bit of basics this fall season, kind of looking at what it is to be a disciple. And I love that title. I think that's a great title for us to claim and to lean into more about what is a disciple. A disciple is what the Lord has called us to be. It's the Lord, the teacher, made the first calling, says to His followers, come, follow me. Making that call of the teacher to say, come and be my students. And for a teacher to call the students was a big deal. Most students would seek the teachers. It's uncommon for a teacher to seek his or her students. And when a teacher would say that, was saying, I believe you can do what I am doing. I believe you have what it takes to do what I am doing, to become my followers. And with that calling, He says, come follow me. And He's calling these fishermen. He uses language that makes sense to them. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and you will do what I am doing of calling people to follow God. He gives the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And that is the calling that we have, the purpose that we have as ones following Christ and leaning into Him to be like Him, to then do what He is doing in making disciples. And I'm glad that that message is still being fulfilled and that calling is still being lived out, because we have the gospel, because those who have continued to go and make disciples into all nations, that the gospel has gotten to this place, to people who have told it to us, and now it's on us. And now it's given to us to answer that call to be His disciples. It's on us to then go and make disciples. And there's no greater place to make disciples than in the context of the body of Christ, than in the church. And we talked about what the church is, a community called by God, a community compelled by God, a community that's on mission of God, compelled by His love to love one another and to love others and to love the world. And we talked about the Bible, about what is the Bible? What is it all about? We talked about how the Bible is God's holy words. It's about God telling us about who He is, about God being revealed, and then calling a people to saying, as I am holy, you be holy. You be like me. You live your lives the way I am and according to my ways, and I will bless you and I will carry you. How God created, but in the midst of creation and of His freedom of life He's given, man doesn't take very long to get distracted by things, by turning inwardly and turning outwardly and turning away from God and falling away from God. And this holy God is so committed and so in love with His creation, so in love with His people, that He's on this reckless, abandoned pursuit, this rugged love that will not give up on His people, that continues to pursue them and redeem them and save them and restore them. And how it is a story of love, and how it is a word of truth, how we can trust in this word. And above all things of what the Bible is and what church all is and what being a disciple is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That if you want to get what the Bible is about, it's about Jesus. If you want to get what church is about, it's about Jesus. If you want to get what God is about Jesus. You want to get what life is about, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Everything. It's a story that culminates in the gospel. But yet we see that this gospel and this God coming into the world and God making Himself known with Jesus, it disorients as God has created life and put expectations and formed how it should live and gives commands of how it lives. And as mankind gets away from God, this when the love comes back into the story, it disorients. When light shines into the darkness, it causes things to be disoriented. It causes a change. It causes a conflict. But also how this light then exposes to then orient life to make Him known and to say not so to know who he is and who we are. And it orients life. And this light then points to rebirth of becoming born again and new again. And we see that that's the story of the Bible of His people being brought back and being brought back and being brought back until the culmination of the gospel where Jesus comes as the revelation of God saying, this is who God is. This is what love is. This is what it's all about. And it points to rebirth of dying to self, of giving up, of leaving the darkness, of giving up of our lives, of giving up of these things that have taken us away from what life is all about, of being born again, of taking on Christ, and of being transformed and living a whole new life. The Bible is not a rule book. The Bible is not a book of morals and principles. It's not about what we should be. It's a book about who we are and how our behavior should affect the reality of God. And what is the reality of God? It's Jesus Christ and His love. And how you want to know who God is, you want to know who we are, it's all about Jesus. It's about being a holy people, called by God, loved by God, created by God, saved by God, redeemed by God, gifted by God, purposed by God, formed by God. The Bible is about how God is made known and has formed connection and relationship with the world. But yet people don't always see it that way, don't always see God and connect with God. You know, if people do not see faith as something connected to the world, then the faith has been badly misrepresented. That faith is something, if it's not something that affects how we lived yet last night and how we're going to live tomorrow, then we've done a bad job of teaching about what God and living for Christ is all about. The Bible is about Jesus, and so it's important to start with Jesus. When teaching someone the Bible, or telling something about what the church is all about, what the Bible is all about, what God is all about, start with Jesus. It's all about Him. Because who we are in Christ is who we really are. He's the Creator, and so He knows who we are. He's the Creator, so He knows how we are, what we're designed to be. He's the Creator, so we should. He knows how it is we are to live and what's right and what's best. You know, it's been said that one of the first things that those who have left the church, have left the faith, stopped doing was that they stopped reading their Bibles. I think it's deeper than that. I don't think it's about just stop reading the Bible. If you stopped reading the Bible, I think you've not been connected to Jesus. Why do people stop praying? It's because you've lost a connection with Jesus. Why have you left the church? Because you've lost the connection with Jesus. You know, it's a failure to truly accept Jesus as Lord over everything. Jesus is the message. He is the messenger. Jesus is the Word of God, the love of God, the truth of God, the person of God. Well, what about you? What about you in your life? Are you wavering as a disciple? Are you wavering in your church life? Are you wavering in your Bible reading? Are you wavering in your prayer life? It's deeper than just those practices. All good things to help us to grow as followers of Christ in our acceptance of Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 18, and then we'll go back and make some points here about Jesus being the Word. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify according to the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, nor of a husband's decision, or a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So we have, in the beginning was the Word. The Word being the person of the Godhead through whom the world was created. It's all about Jesus. Jesus was with God. In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is the Word of truth, and Jesus is the truth. You know, you think about what is truth. Truth is God. And so what is God? That's hard to understand. What is God? God is Jesus. The truth is the reality of God, the Father revealed through Jesus the Son. So in the beginning, it's all about Jesus. Jesus the Creator. And what did He create? He created life and He created light. When you read this language of in the beginning was the Word, you have to go back to Genesis and see about that. It makes you think of that language. So if you go to Genesis 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty. The darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. We see this, that Jesus is the light. He is the life. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And when the light shines in the darkness, it disorients. It disorients the darkness. If we were to turn this light, this room off, all the lights off and block up the windows, and I was to shine a light, our eyes would be disoriented. It would shine in that. It would expose that. And at first, sometimes it's comfortable in the darkness. It can get comfortable in living the way we're living. Whether it's for the Lord or not, we can find very comforts in that. And when a light comes on, it disorients. And so this light shined in the darkness. From the time of creation, when God said, let there be light, it disoriented the darkness, but it set order to that darkness. Because darkness is not the way life should be lived. And so when Jesus comes into this life as the Word, when he appears as a man, that light shined and the darkness did not understand it. And the Scriptures go on in John 1, 6 through 9. It says, there came a man who was sent from John, from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. What an awesome job that John had of proclaiming the coming of the Son of God, of coming of the Messiah. And he testifies to that light for what purpose? It's all about so that all may believe. And by believing in that light and drawing to that light, as the light causes disorder, then to orient life around that light, to not go away from that discomfort, but then to go towards that as being the author and the creator of life. The one who from the beginning made that, to orient life. And to orient life means to believe and to obey. And by believing and obeying in this Son of God is then to be transformed and living a new life. So how do you know if someone knows Jesus or believes in Jesus? It's by how they are living like their Lord, by their love of God and their love of others. By how they're living. If you believe, you are orienting your life around Jesus. You know, if you believe, then you are at church. If you believe, then you are reading your Bibles. If you believe, you are praying. If you are believing, then you are not living in sin. If you are believing, then you're not living in darkness. John says he comes to be a witness to that light, to expose those dark areas, to draw to that light, to reorient light. You know, what keeps people from living for Jesus? What keeps people from living for Jesus? Maybe it's because the gospel has been misrepresentative. You know, lack of accepting the love of Jesus, you know, and that of really accepting how great that love is. You know, that love of Jesus informs our lives. You know, and so John came as a testimony of that light to say it's all about Jesus. It's all about living life this way when life has gotten out of whack. And he has come as a witness, and that's an example for us to be a witness of bringing light, a true light and love to others. And it goes on. He comes as a testimony for that, a witness of that. And in John 1, 10 through 13, it says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here we see the great love of God. It's a great act of love that God even created the world. It's a great act of love that God created all that He's made. And then not just create it and set it in motion and to make it perfect. He comes near to His creation. It says the Creator comes into the creation. But sadly, the creation did not recognize Him. And the Hebrew writer says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So the author of the story of this life, the story of the world, he comes into the story. It made me think about, we were watching the DC comic movies, the last one that just came out. I can't remember where I just saw it. It was the Batman-Superman movie. Just watched that movie, but it made me think. I was watching that movie, and I was trying to watch for, I think, oh, we're going to see Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's not in DC. He's in the Marvel comics, which is a whole other realm. That's where you got the Iron Man, you got the Hulk, you got Spider-Man. They're not in the same world as the Batman-Superman. But I was expecting to see Spider-Man, didn't see him. But in the Marvel movies, the creator, the writer of those Marvel movies is Stan Lee. And in those recent movies, he makes an appearance, he makes a cameo in most of his Marvel movies. And if you won't even recognize him if you don't know what he looks like. Because he shows up in those movies in just a very unassuming way. Just kind of like he's like someone on the street or he's a servant in a restaurant. You don't even recognize him. And how cool is it that him being the author and creator of those stories and those comics, he enters into life of his characters. But yet, he's unknown. The characters don't recognize him. He doesn't even have an interaction with them. Kind of a lot like Jesus entering into his creation, entering into the story of life and going unknown. And so it says that sadly there are those that will not recognize him, will not receive him. Yet, though, there are those who do receive him, who do believe. And it's great what kind of connection happens when we are accepting of the word of life, accepting of Jesus. It says, yet in verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be oriented around him and then transformed through rebirth to become his children. Children of God, becoming the Father, oriented, accepting him and being reborn, born of God, transformed into children of God, not by natural descent, but born of God, identified as children of God. And that's the beauty of what we get to experience through baptism. You know, that we get to be born again of water and of spirit. You know, Nicodemus come asking Jesus about this. You know, about being born again. He says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how can somebody be born again? You can't go back into your mother's womb. You can't do that. It's not by a natural way, but born of the Spirit and born of God. And so it's sad that there are those who will not recognize the Creator, will not recognize the author, but those who do get full relationship of Father, Son, Father, and Daughter relationship with God the Creator. And finally, in John 1:14-18, the Word become flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. Yet the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. The Word becomes flesh. Jesus shows God as he really is. And God, the Son, holds both grace and truth in tension. And so what is the Word of God? What is the Bible all about? What is being a disciple all about? What is church all about? It's all about Jesus. All about love being expressed through Jesus. And so it's all about accepting Jesus, accepting him, his word, accepting his life. The question is, have you accepted that word of truth? Have you accepted Jesus? Are you living by the truth? Are you genuinely living His way. If you genuinely know God revealing Jesus, it will be reflected in how you live. It will be reflected in your obedience. Well, what about your areas of darkness? Your areas where you're living outside of a life of Christ. Places where that light shining in makes you feel uncomfortable and starts to disorient your life and make you feel uneasy. What maybe is holding you back from reorienting your life around Jesus? Well, it's all about the love of God expressed through Jesus. Do you need rebirth? Do you need transformation? How do you want to live? It's all about Him. Is Jesus Lord? Because He's the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. So it's more than just knowing about Him, learning about Him. It's about living for Him, accepting Him in your life. Will you accept Him today as you stand and sing?